I want to talk about patience, and so starting this way is a good way for me to test and develop my patience. And it's not been one of those things that has been natural for me by my DNA and the world that I was brought up in, my upbringing. And so learning patience is exactly that. It is a learning process, and I'm still trying to learn to be patient and also learning to be long-suffering. And so we're going to talk about both of those terms this morning. I appreciate in that song, Christ in the Garden, as we sang about that, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus was demonstrating self-control. He was showing very clearly his focus on pleasing the Father was far greater than pleasing his own will. And that is such a powerful thing to me. And when his will was not in line with the Father's will, it was not the Father's will that he tried to alter, but his own. And that's a powerful lesson for me. When I find my will not in harmony with God's will, my responsibility is to alter my will, my thinking, and my attitude. And so as we think about this matter of patience and long-suffering, there are many lessons for me along this particular way. All right. I may end up doing this without charts. We'll see. All right, we're going on. As we think about patience and suffering, this passage we just looked at in Colossians chapter 1 that Will read for us is a great text. And if you look there with me, you'll see that as verse 11 expresses, it says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Notice the last of that, if you would, in verse 11. We're in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 11. Patience with joy, or patience joyously, depending on the translation. What that reflects is an attitude. I was studying, Shante wanted to study about Proverbs 31 Thursday evening. And one of the things we noted in that text was the attitude of this woman, that it was positive. It's not only doing what needs to be done, but then the spirit and the attitude that prevails in that makes a world of difference. And as we look here, as he talks about these two terms that we're discussing, that we look at steadfastness and patience with joy. And so as we have to endure different things, different trials, different situations with people, that it is needful for us to bear in mind the attitude and the spirit that we have. And again, as we think about the idea of patience and long-suffering, which we're going to be talking about both of those and the difference here in just a minute, but those terms imply with them hardships, challenges, maybe sufferings along the way. The need for patience or long-suffering imply that things are less than perfect. They're challenges. Sometimes there are things I don't want to do, but I've got to go forward. That's what we just sang about in our Lord's will. His will, the Father's will, be done rather than mine. And so critical issues along the way. I'm going to give one more shot here. I hate not being able to use my... You can't forward them, I assume.
Try that option
10. That's what I did. Nothing's happening. Control tab, option tab, command tab. Arrow, that's what I've been doing. I can beat the drum. And so something's just hung up. I'm just going to
stop screen share.
Well, I can't. I don't have a cursor. So we're, again, struggling with patience. I actually planned it this way, but no. But when you think about it, you know, oftentimes we would like to get through things quickly, very rapidly. And I've got a beautiful picture of a race car up here, and that's the way I'd like to get through problems. Say, go, I get through the quarter mile, and it's over. That's the way I like to operate life. Let's get this done with and go. But so much of life is not that way. And when we deal with problems, or when we deal with other people, oftentimes it's going to be a long process. It may be a lifelong process in some situations of things that I have to deal with that they ultimately may not even be resolved in this world. And so I have to figure out how to deal with that. And when I deal with people, I have to figure out how to deal with that. You know, again, I like it to just be over quickly, but oftentimes that's just not the case of how the real world operates. Our next chart, as you can see in this beautiful demonstration, is the terms themselves. The term patience primarily deals with the endurance under a load, trials, or difficulty. And that's literally what the word itself means. To bear up under is the word that's used for patience. You'll also notice another word in the English, oftentimes persevere or perseverance. And as I went back and looked, the word that's translated from the Greek for that is the same word. And so as we are patient to get through this, we have to persevere. We have to keep on. So they're trying those nuances of English in a context to make that difference. But the idea of patience is that we just have to keep on keeping on, as has been said so many times through the years, enduring under a load, trials and difficulties. The other word that we're looking at here, long-suffering, is primarily dealing with relationships involving other people. So patience, as the Bible uses the particular term, is talking about you hang in there, you endure, you keep on keeping on until you've accomplished what needs to be accomplished. Ultimately, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5, our salvation. But this other word, long-suffering, has to do with my dealing with people. And the next point in this chart is we need to be long-suffering because people have shortcomings. And I like that. The word that's used again here in the original is macrothumos, or macrothumia. And we think about macroeconomics, that's big. And we think about a thermos bottle. That's the Greek word for heat. And so it's long before you get hot under the collar. I mean, that's how we might say it. It's controlling our anger because there are people who do things that make me angry. And that's the world I sort of grew up in. And so I had to learn to try to get on top of that when I become a Christian. But this word that's used for long-suffering many times in the New Testament is talking about my dealings with other people. And we're going to address that first and foremost in our study. Then we'll talk about second, and mostly as well, patience. When I think about the relationship that I have with others, I might think about my wife. We're close, so we bump each other. You know, when you get close together, you bump each other, don't you? If you get into a ditch and you're digging a hole and there's not much room, you're going to turn and you're going to bump into each other. And when you live closely like a husband and wife does, like a family does, sometimes you bump into each other. That just comes with the territory. And so you're going to have to figure out, what am I going to do with that? Sometimes my attitude just has to be changed. Sometimes there are things that need to be changed in the situation. But what we find in this is that I have to make some decisions about what I will do with it. Sometimes when I'm dealing with other people, I might read their frustrations as frustrations towards me, and sometimes they are. And there are times my wife, I have to explain to her, look, I'm not frustrated with you. I've got several things going on here. I'm feeling a lot of tension. I'm not bothered at you at all. But it's important for her to know that my frustration is not with her. So I can be long-suffering with her. She can be long-suffering with me as I'm trying to deal with certain things. And so that's the way this works. The same thing with my children. Children do things sometimes that are frustrating. If you've ever raised children, you've experienced that. And if not, we're looking forward to joyously watching you experience that. But it goes the other way. Sometimes parents do things that are frustrating to children. We're told as fathers that we're not to provoke our children to wrath. Sometimes, you know, we do things and deal with things in a way that maybe is not fair or not wise. And so as we do that, you know, this goes several directions. And then a relationship with brethren. And I think right now it's especially been a difficult time in our country, I'll just say it that way, because of the dealings and the challenges that we have. And I think it's not only just our relationship and the shortcomings that we have, but I think it's because there's a whole mountain of stuff that's been cast upon us in recent months. And I've talked to my friend Phil Morgan and some things going on in his life. And, you know, his mother fell and broke a hip and hip replacement and several things going on in Africa. Things are going with COVID and the challenges with brethren and trying to figure out how to meet and deal with masks and on and on. And you know what what happens with that is that has an accumulative weight upon us inside, and it can frustrate us. And so I might find myself barking when I don't have a whole lot to bark about. I don't even know what I'm barking about. Like our dog next door. We got a dog. a neighbor's got a beagle on it, that dog will bark at anything. And it'll bark at nothing. And if we're not careful, sometimes my relationship with other people can be like that. Well, that's what I do. And I'm talking about me here in this situation. So I have to learn about that. Well, some things that can help me deal with other people. First and foremost is how much long-suffering has God demonstrated, not just towards the world, but towards me. And if you knew how much long-suffering God has had to have towards me, you would just shake your head. I can't believe it. But it's true. God has been patient and long-suffering with me. I was coming from a long ways down, deep-rooted stuff in my life. Lived in the world. My parents lived in the world. Became Christians as I was growing up. And so I had a lot to overcome. And some of it you just don't overcome overnight. It's thinking that takes a while. But that's the wonderful thing about God's Word. God's Word works in us. That's what Paul says in the 1 Thessalonian letter in chapter 2. It does its Word work in us. If we take it to heart, if we are tenderhearted to what it powerfully says, it keeps hammering away and chiseling away until Christ is more and more being formed in me. That's what Romans 8, I think it is, tells us. And so we find that God is able to do that. He's been patient with me. In Romans chapter 2 and in verse 4, there the patience, the long-suffering of God. We ought not to consider that kindness, you know, in vanity. But what they did is the Jews didn't take advantage of it, as it speaks there. In the book of Romans chapter 15 and in verse 7 is a great text, that verse that I've liked. It says, "Wherefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God." Of God. What has God had to put up with me when I become a Christian? A bunch. And so I think Luke chapter 7 maybe reflects that. That means I ought to love him that much more. I've had that much that he's had to forgive me. I think that's the natural order of things. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 26 and 29, there's the story about the two servants. One had a small debt to his fellow servant, and that servant had a huge debt to his master. And this fellow servant, who was owed a small amount, wouldn't forgive his fellow servant. God was not happy with that. And he says at the end of that, so is it with everyone who does not forgive his brother from his heart. I think that's in verse 35, if I remember correctly. And as we notice that particular text in Matthew chapter 18, it just calls me again to sobriety. Yes, verse 35. So shall my heavenly Father do to you if each one of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. And so, again, this is talking about debts, and it's talking about being wronged and debts in that way, but God's forgiven me so much more. But all that into saying this, what helps me in dealing with my brethren? God has forgiven me so much. God has been long-suffering and is still being long-suffering with me. I ought to be a lot farther down the road than I am. I'm just telling you. I'm trying. And some days I do better than other days, just frankly. That's life. But God's been patient, is patient with me. And I need to remember that in dealing with other people. In Galatians 5:22, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, one of those fruits that come from walking with the Spirit is patience. And that's our word long-suffering here. A lack of patience can sour my spirit. When I don't have long-suffering and patience and forgiveness with my brethren, then what happens? And I had to learn this as a young preacher. Because, you know, you end up in situations where people just aren't listening to God's Word. I mean, you preach it, you can chisel as hard as you want, and chips are not going to fly. And if you're not careful what happens then that can leave you frustrated inside. And then what happens, I'm just telling you personally, and other men that I've talked to, and I get frustrated, and then guess what? Then that starts coming across. And then that impacts my preaching. And then after a while, you know, I'm fussing at everybody, and I'm not even mad at them. I'm mad at this person who won't change. You know, first thing, if there's something I need to do with that brother, I need to deal with the frustration. I need to remember God's long-suffering to me. But I'm saying all that for this purpose, that my attitudes and what goes inside of me can affect my whole life and my relationship with other people. And that can lead to bitterness. And in the book of Hebrews, let no root of bitterness enter in, whereby many be defiled. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, if you would turn over there with me, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is talking about the unity of the Spirit that we are to prevail in. And it tells us, as we are Christians in verse 1, that we should walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And in verse 2 and 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, that's our word long-suffering here, showing forbearance to one another in love, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so we see that as Paul writes to the Ephesians, it was a challenge that they had to struggle with. And it's a challenge that sometimes I have to struggle with. But God is patient and kind and will help. Next, that love should compel me to be long-suffering or patient with my brother, because I'm trying to do what's going to be good for them. Not retaliatory, obviously, we all know that. And the other side of this, I might need to think about it from this way. Maybe next time the tables will be turned. Maybe I'm the one that messed up, and they've got to be patient and long-suffering with me. And let me tell you, when I mess up, that's what I would like to have, is patience and long-suffering. Now, unless I be misunderstood, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, what having this long-suffering, this patience, does not mean, what it does not mean is that teaching doesn't go on to try to change those attitudes and those things that are wrong. It does not mean that reproof and correction are not involved. But rather we find as this teaching and this correction goes on, we do it with long-suffering spirit, with patience. In 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be urgent or ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, it will not endure sound doctrine. So he goes ahead and talks about that. But you notice there in verse 2 that just because this matter of patience or long-suffering with great patience and instruction are involved, he says you preach the word, you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort, and you instruct. But you got to be long-suffering in here. They're going to be ready to hear when they're ready to hear. They may never be ready to hear. They may not be ready until God says, why didn't you listen in the day of judgment? And if there's open sin, it obviously has to be addressed. Many passages talk about that in the Scriptures. But we find that this matter of correction and instruction go along with patience and exhortation here. And so I asked myself the question. I wrote it down in my notes. How am I doing? I can look at examples of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:21. I can look at the example of Paul, how he is an example. And I think about myself as well. And you think about yourself as we are examples trying to do the will of God. And we're trying to help other people grow up. Again, I love my father. He grew up in a sort of situation, so he had some anger when I was growing up. And he had a hard time breaking that after becoming a Christian. And so guess what I learned? And guess what I had to work through and I had to deal with? But the Word of God helped him to change through the years. It has helped me to change through the years. God's word will do its work. Our other word here is patience. And that's carrying, again, this other word is carrying up or holding up under trial. There are loads. There are challenges. And another word, perseverance, I mentioned a while ago, oftentimes is used. That we have to persevere. We have to keep on. The patience is long. Persevering. I keep pressing on till I accomplish my goals. So those go hand in hand. Some powerful passages along this kind of patience. I'd like to begin in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's our word here for patience. Run this race before us with patience. We got to keep going. We got to keep pressing on towards the goal. And, of course, we've just in recent weeks talked about something that was an insight to me. And as we fix our eyes on Jesus, what it literally says is don't fix your eyes on anything. Your eyes are fixed on you. Don't fix on anything. We are to set our eyes on Jesus. And in the garden, what did he do? He set his eyes on the Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so as we think about this matter of patience, again, we've got to continue to run the race with endurance. Did you ever notice that some days are easier than other days? Or maybe I can sit the flip side of that. Some days are just harder than other days. Sometimes days it seems like the world's spinning in a grease groove, man. It's just going smooth. I can fly through here. I can handle this, no problem. And there are other days where every little molehill I find seems like I got to go mountain climbing. That's life. That's life. And so as I approach those challenges, I have to figure out how am I going to deal with them. I'm going to give glory to God, whether the day is easy or difficult, and I'm going to set my eye on the end. And that's where it's all at, is in the end. In the book of Romans, please turn there with me, in Romans chapter 5. In the book of Romans chapter 5. And again, as you're turning there, I'm preaching this lesson for my sake. I hope it helps you some this morning. I'm preaching this on my account, because it's been on my mind also. Thinking about some of these things. Thinking about the challenges of life. And as we look at God's word, it is so helpful. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, Paul writes and says, "And not only this, but we also exalt in tribulations." Now, the idea of tribulation means, we'd say, being between a rock and a hard place. The squeeze is on. Pressure is on. It may be a persecution. It may be other things. But that's the idea behind tribulation. Knowing that tribulation, these troubles, bring about perseverance. That's our word, patience. And perseverance, proven character. As we keep pressing on, trusting God, patiently enduring. What does it do to our character? When we humbly listen to God's word, it helps us to grow. It helps us to mature. And that's why that term, be perfect, so often is used in the New Testament. Not talking about sinlessness, but that you grow up, Gail. Be a man, spiritually. And that's what trials and persevering, these challenges that are so difficult for us sometimes, help us to do. It challenges our faith. And as we walk by faith, what happens is it impacts and further refines us internally. This type of character that he talks about here. And then he says, proven character, hope. Okay, I've got this far. I'm going to make this. I've got hope. It fortifies our hope. And many passages talk about hope. Hope is so critical. And so these trials, this endurance, this proven character that we've kept on pressing on, it fortifies our hope. And it better prepares us for what comes next week or next year or beyond. The things that we don't know about, whatever may come, let it be. But now's the time that we change and mold our character and fortify our hope. So whatever's before us, it'll be okay. Because I've chosen to walk with God. I can get through this because God will bring me through this somehow, some way. He is able and will do that. In the book of James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He talks about various trials in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials or temptations. Again, this idea of joy. So we don't become discouraged. Think about what comes out of this as we walk with our Lord. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, patience. And let endurance, let this patience, have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing, grown up, mature. These fires, these challenges, these uphill battles, these things that we have to deal with, our failures in correcting those with God, brings us to a better place. And as you read down through here, you find that what happens, let's find my notes here. You find that what happens down in verse 3, verse 2 and 3, this testing of your faith, but down in verse 12, I believe it is. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved. And what that means, he's passed the test. And if you have a footnote there, it'll even say he's passed the test. Once he has passed the test, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him. And so, as we face these challenges, these frustrations, whether it be of people, whether it be of circumstances, whether it be of our own failures, and we get up and we go again, as our faith is tried and tested, and we persevere, What happens on the other side of these tests is eternal life. The Old Testament talks about the Israelites being tested, Deuteronomy 8. I often refer to that. We see right here the same thing. And so these challenges that come our way. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to reflect on this. I already know the answer, but I want to ask you anyway. In Hebrews chapter 12, do you enjoy discipline? Do you enjoy correction? I'm going to say no. And if you enjoy discipline, you're an oddball. Because none of us really like correction. None of us really like that kind of discipline. Because it's not pleasant, say Hebrews 12, at the moment. But afterward, it reveals its peaceful fruit of righteousness. It helps, as you read that text, taking on the divine nature. It makes us more like God. Because as we get rid of this stuff that's getting in the way of drawing near to God, as we get rid of that, it blesses us in our drawing near to Him. And you may remember the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Bringing forth fruit with perseverance, pressing onward and upward, not earthward. There, the parable of the sower, the seed that landed the rock and the thorns and all that, it went really by the wayside, even though the seed that landed among the thorns, the person was so earthly, cared about this world, the pursuits of this world so much, they didn't ever bear fruit. Then it says, but the good soil. The seed lands and it grows and it produces 30, 60, 100 fold. I think it's Matthew that says. But here the expression is bringing forth fruit with perseverance. We got to keep working, keep planning, doing what we can. I've been going to the flea market for the last couple of months now. And like yesterday morning, it was slow. Things had picked up a month or so ago. And then over the last 2 or 3 weeks, it seemed like fewer people have been coming. I don't know whether distracted, hot, because there's not as many vendors coming out. I think because business isn't so good. And I'm thinking, I just keep hammering along here. And, you know, I prayed about it. Nick and I communicated a day or two ago, and he said, yesterday morning, he said, I'll be praying for you at the flea market today. He was having a study with a new convert there. And thinking, okay, well, I just got to keep praying about that. And about noon or so, I ended up with a couple or three different contacts, maybe a couple of studies. A guy that I saw and talked with a couple of weeks ago had a good question from up in the northern part of Charlotte. I said, man, I wish I had his contact information. He showed up yesterday. We talked a little more. I've got that contact information. A gal that Deborah and I studied with a couple of years ago, which is a contact from flea market from three years or so ago, I get a call before I leave the flea market out there. Now, I'll tell you what happens. Sometimes you go 2, 3, 4 weeks, and there's not much that seems to happen. But while you do, you persevere. And in your life and in mine, we can look at that across the board. So often what we have to do is keep planting, keep watering, keep persevering, because the seed you planted 2 years ago may be the seed that you're going to be able to water and will grow and bear fruit tomorrow. But we got to press on and not get discouraged in trying to reach a lost and a dying world. But I want to mention also, as we bring this towards a close, not there yet, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, there's more than perseverance involved. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, we all know this is the church at Ephesus. And the thing that we remember about the church of Ephesus is God wasn't happy with them because they had left their first love. And so it tells us in verse 2, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, your steadfastness, you're hanging in there, and that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. So here people have said, hey, I'm still going to church. Hey, I've still served God. Hey, I'm going to deal with those false teachers. But the Lord says, there's a major problem. It's not driven out of love for me. You have left your first love. And so it's not just persevering, but it's persevering because you say, Lord, I love you. I want to do your will. I'm sorry for my failures. And we ask him to forgive. We just keep going, keep trying to do, and we do it sometimes imperfectly. Again, I've told you this before. There's sometimes as a preacher, and I'm just pulling the curtains back. There's sometimes like, man, I just wish I could do what that guy could do. He remembers all this stuff, and he can do this, and he can do that. And what happens if I do that, I get myself in trouble, don't I? Because that doesn't help me do what I can do and what's my responsibility to do. What I have to do and what you have to do is say, okay, what can I do? That's what God has entrusted me with. The parable of the talents demonstrates that. He gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1 talent, each according to their ability. Go back and read that in Matthew chapter 25. What that does is that encourages me. Because if the Lord has put me in a place with the opportunity to do this, He must think that I have the ability to do it. And so do what you can where you are. And don't let the other stuff get in the way. That's what God expects of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. God expects of a man what he has, not what he doesn't have. And so we go forward and deal with this. Again, it is hard to wait. And I'm not a good waiter. I'm still not a good waiter. I'm trying. But we just got to do that. Well, some things that help me with this kind of patience. First is patience is helped by a proper perspective, putting things where they need to be. My roots are in my Lord and in this great hope that I have. Deborah and I have enjoyed the Oregon coast through the years a little bit. And I can remember some time back, we were walking along the shore, and here's this piece of seaweed that's probably 60 foot long. And it's hanging on to a little bitty old rock. And that rock has gotten washed up on the shore. But here's that seaweed just clinging. And as many of you know, I used to scuba dive. And you go down 30, 40, 50 feet, and here's this seaweed. And I mean, it is rooted down there. And the currents are strong, sometimes stronger than you can swim in. And here's this, all these currents are blowing around underwater, so to say. And that seaweed's just right there because it's rooted. Well, that's the imagery in the New Testament about our being rooted in Christ. We're rooted in Him. The storms may come. That seaweed typically will withstand the storm because it's rooted. And these challenges that are upon us, whether it be of things, situations, or people, will overcome. We're getting closer every day. And so a proper perspective of such things is helpful. I read a thing one time about a fellow. He was just saying, oh man, how beautiful this part of the creation is. This beautiful sunset. Oh man, look at this tree over here. And this guy had known how he was before. And said, what got into you? He said, well, you know, I've been in church the last couple of years. I've been hearing what God's word says. But I spent a couple of weeks in a hospital, and that sobered me up real quick. Sometimes the difficulties of life can cause us to stop and think and sober up a little bit about life. And so that can help us as we put life in perspective. And it can help us along the way. It's not about this world, it's not about here, and it's not about now. It's about what's ahead. Secondly, hand in hand with this idea of having things in a proper perspective, is that patience is helped by our faith. It's faith in Christ, our victory. And so as we look at this idea in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24 and 25, it says, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we eagerly wait for it. Now this matter of faith and then hope go hand in hand. We're trusting and we're looking forward to the promises of God. How things are going to turn out. This fellow back in Casey, Illinois, that just died of COVID. I'd say I've known him since I was probably 20 years old. Very colorful guy, worked for an oil company, retired, made a lot of money, bought an engineering company, made a ton of money, traveled, did all kinds of stuff. He was not expecting to die. 2 weeks later, after he got to COVID, he's dead. Now, what that does to me is it just brings back the reality. Not of COVID, but of life. I need to live ready to meet my Lord. I need to live by faith, and I need to live by hope, so that whenever that day comes, I will be ready. Our lives are driven by such faith. I have a quote that I like. Faith is like an inner spring in the desert that provides life in the desert. Faith, if you watch a show, maybe in a Western or something, and they're out in this deserty land, and they're looking for the water hole, where there's a spring that keeps giving life. And a lot of times it'll be these beautiful trees and everything around this water hole, because that's where life thrives. And that's where it is in relationship that we have to God, is this kind of faith that trusts God and obeys God. It is like an underground spring that feeds whatever comes our way in a good way when we're connected to our Lord as we need to. And so that helps me with my patience. The Lord will help me. My Father will get me through. And it'll be okay. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, "But they that wait for Jehovah shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so let us grow and let us go forward. In conclusion, I want to make reference to Paul's comments found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul says, "Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost," that the chiefest of sinners is what he's talking about, "Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." Paul says, God was patient with me. I was the worst case scenario. I was the chiefest or the foremost of sinners because I persecuted Christians. I thought I was doing God's will, but I was in rebellion against God. I was fighting against God. But God was patient with me, and he forgave me. And by his mercy, I have been reconciled, as Paul, by the Holy Spirit, wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 that we read this morning. God's reconciliation. Paul talks about that here. If there is power in the blood of Christ to forgive me the worst case scenario, there's power in the blood of Christ to forgive you, to forgive me. To God be the glory. And I'm so thankful for that. But it calls us to, again, remember God's patience. And he is willing. And he's saying, come on. He doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. In the days that the ark was being prepared, God was patiently waiting. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, God was patiently waiting, because he was going to deliver those who would walk by this obedient faith. This morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're here because God has been patient and allowed you another opportunity. If you die outside of Christ, you'll die in your sins, and you'll be separated from God for eternity, is what I understand the Bible says. God is the judge of that, but that's what he has said. And so our responsibility is to hear the gospel and obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, you're willing to repent of your sin, stop going your own way, and make Jesus the Lord and the Master. I'm going to follow righteousness, not unrighteousness. I'm not going to follow my religious way. I'm going to follow Christ's religious way. I'm confessing with the mouth to be the Son of God, my Lord and Master, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, powerfully demonstrated and verified throughout the New Testament. That's the gospel that the apostles were given, and they went out and spread. And it's the same gospel that's empowered today to forgive sins. If you've not obeyed that gospel, won't you do so today? But that's not the end. Then continue to follow Jesus until you follow him into heaven.